How much do you actually just sit and listen when someone's giving healthy criticism or constructive criticism? Do you speak when they're giving the criticism? Like, that is a big question, because I can tell you right now, if you're going to be honest with yourself, if you speak when someone's giving you criticism, if you speak, I can promise you, you're either being defensive or you're justifying. One or the other.
My name is Johnny Elsasser, and I am a former Special Operations U.S. Army Ranger and Tactical Commander to the U.S. Ambassador's Protective Detail. I have seen the struggle even the most hardened men have faced when they combat their inner demons, and I am here to shine a light on those struggles to show that no man is exempt from adversity and internal pain. Men from all walks of life share their stories of hardship, darkness, and perseverance so that every man knows that whatever he is going through, he is not alone. Evolution for Men begins now.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to The Art of Masculinity. I have a subject today that I feel is going to be very valuable for most men out there, and I really am excited to dive into it. The first reason why is because when we focus on the subject of criticism, men get very defensive. And I can say this firsthand, that for a majority of my life, I would get defensive. Even to this day, there's certain criticisms that someone may have of me, a friend or just a group. If I'm, you know, I do Toastmasters, I do all kinds of different things where I'm trying to improve my abilities, and there's criticism is built in. Okay. Healthy criticism is built in. And there's a little bit, there's a little tinge of judgment and defensiveness that comes up internally for me a lot of times. And I have to check that. Now, unfortunately, there was a time in my life where I did not know how to do that. And unfortunately, there are a lot of men out there who don't know how to do this. And then they believe that any kind of criticism is an attack on them personally. And I think that this is one of the biggest flaws we as men have, because there's a certain point in our life where we come to a conclusion that we no longer are developable. I mean, that's not really a word, I don't believe, but we're not able to be developed, that we are stuck in our ways, or that we are at the capacity of development, and we are supposed to, one, know it all, and we are supposed to, two, be capable of everything. Obviously, both are incredibly flawed thought processes and also incredibly flawed ways to live. But that is where we are as men. This is a thing that I've dealt with. This is a thing that I know many men deal with. So I feel like it's important for us to handle it. So how do we handle criticism? How do men in particular handle criticism? Now, I can tell you from past experiences, I did not do a great job with this. I would look at it as a personal attack on me. And then I would judge the other person. I'd look at them and find all their flaws and be like, I'm not listening to that person because they're so flawed. They provide no value in what they say. Now, I want to take us down a road of, let's look at coaches, for instance, right? Like coaches in the NFL, coaches in any professional league, majority of them either never have or could not play to the level of their players. Okay. Or else they would have been longtime professional athletes, but they weren't, majority of them, right? There are some now, especially in football, where you're seeing former, true, solid, great football players become coaches. But the majority of the coaches are not that. And the majority of coaches across every professional league are not that. So I say all of this because of the fact that every athlete that is out there is getting criticized by their coach. Again, and we're talking about healthy criticism here, right? Like, not people obviously trying to attack them, but they want them to get better. So they have to tell them where they're flawed or where they have issues, where their game is hurting. And so what happens is those athletes, and I guarantee you a lot of them probably still do get defensive about it, but those athletes are supposed to take that criticism and apply it to their game to get better. But as men, we don't do this with anybody. For a majority of the time, we don't do this with anybody to improve our lives or our abilities within our lives or gain further experience by developing something that could be a flaw or a weakness in our game, quote unquote. So that becomes a problem. And I'm going to give you guys some stories in a little bit, but this all kind of revisited me with Toastmasters, which is a group that I'm part of to improve my keynote speaking and speaking in general, because that's what part of what I do as a business is I do keynote speaking and do speeches and stuff like that. And to stay on my craft, I have to go to a place like Toastmasters. That's where I can improve, right? I can write speeches. I give them, I get to be succinct. I get to build a structure around them and I get to deliver them on a regular basis so that I can have the ability to then go on a paid stage and deliver for their community and deliver an impactful message, right? So I use Toastmasters. Now, Toastmasters is built in literally with an evaluator for every time you get up and give a speech so that that evaluator can give you constructive criticism. Now, there's ways to do this and evaluate where you do things like the Oreo method, something good, some of the issues, and then something good, right? So you're allowing somebody to realize that they're not all bad, which is a great healthy way to do any evaluation or any type of criticism, because truthfully, majority of what somebody does isn't all bad. They do have good spots and we should point that out. So that's part of it. But anyways, I digress. This came up because I was looking at that and I was like, oh, I'm actually getting ready to compete for, you know, internationally for the Toastmasters. And I need to have as much criticism as possible because I need to improve my speech and get it so good that I can go out and actually, you know, compete with all these other great speakers and hopefully get on the international stage to compete. Now, that takes a healthy dose of criticism and you have to be able to absorb that. And so when I was actually doing this the other night and I performed my speech that we're crafting and working on and massaging out to actually take into the competition, and we did a popcorn style evaluation. So I was getting criticism from everybody around the room, and regardless of whether they were a good speaker or a bad speaker, I was taking the criticism and then having to write down what I thought was valuable and disregard what I thought wasn't valuable, but also to shrug off any notion that any of it was a personal attack on me. And that's very important. You know, even if I found, and I did, I found myself a little bit starting to like, all right, this is a lot, like, you know, to personal attack, kind of feeling start like a personal attack. But then I was like, no, it's not. This is all about how to improve your speech. So this is all about how to improve what I'm trying to do to make it so I can compete at a high level. So when you reframe the context of criticism in a way that can help you improve, when you reframe that, you allow yourself to really absorb the information. And just remember that criticism is a personal opinion, right? Like, they see areas in which they think that will improve you. They're not doing it to say like, oh, you're a piece of crap. They're saying, oh yeah, this is where I think you could improve, that I think would help your speech, or that I think would help you be better in this area, and take it or leave it. There's no hard feelings there because they don't care if you take it or not. It's up to you to say, oh, that's valuable feedback. I should include that. Or that's valuable feedback. That's an area I want to improve. So if someone sees that, then I'm seeing it and I see it already. That's a great confirmation. That's an area that I need to improve. Like, those kinds of things when people are doing this criticism are super positive and helpful for us to develop more as human beings. So the question I have for everybody listening is, how much do you allow others to even give you their perspective without getting defensive or justifying your quote unquote problem areas? Now, when I was, when would that have been? I probably would say when I was in the government, when I was working for the government, not military, but when I was working for civil service and I was a contracting officer, there were certain areas where people would try to give me constructive criticism here and there. And I got defensive. I didn't really care about their opinion. And then I would totally disregard them, whether it was even valuable or not. And sometimes it was really valuable and I should have probably listened to it, but I would judge them and I would judge them as a human because I would think that they're taking a personal attack on me. And I'd be like, oh, this fat piece of shit goes to McDonald's every day. Fuck them. I'm not going to listen to them. And then I wouldn't listen to potentially valuable information. And that is not a healthy way to be as an adult in life, let alone as somebody who always has the ability to prove, because we are the masters of nothing. I don't believe that you are a master of anything. I believe that you're always working on a craft and you can be incredibly good at it, but to call yourself a master means that you have nowhere else to go. You have no ability to improve. And I don't think that that's correct. I think that no matter what we do in life, there's always areas to improve. Always, 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 always. Doesn't matter what craft it is. So when I look at it, I was a high level contracting officer, but I'm not a master, especially because the fact that you're dealing with a large book of regulations and areas that if you don't practice in on a regular basis, which there's so many areas of contracting, if you don't practice in them on a regular basis, then you aren't going to be a master, or you're not even master. You're not even going to be good at them because it's just not your area of expertise. So that's why I say, like, okay, if you are allowing, how often are you actually allowing people to give you their perspective without getting defensive or justifying your quote unquote issues or problems? Many people want to, I hear it all the time. Another story I'll give you in a little bit, but it has to do with pickleball, right? Like I started getting into pickleball a lot. Like it's, my wife's telling me it's a problem. I'm an addict. I'm there every morning at like 6, train for a couple hours and I get home and get to work, right? Like because I work from home. So I get home, take a protein shake and my supplements, and then I like hop right on my computer and I get working around 8:30, 9 a.m. So that's kind of my start of my day, right? But I love going to pickleball. And so anyways, it's a fun sport, but there is the developmental piece to everything. And there's an easy way to get defensive or justify your issues. And I hear guys do it all the time. They'll make a bad shot and they'll justify the bad shot. It's like, bro, it's just, you just got to improve. It's not a big deal. Like we all make bad shots. You just got to improve. There's no justifying it. I don't think you're a bad player. You know, we all have inconsistencies, right? Like that's just a thing, especially as you're developing in any sport. It's trying to mitigate those inconsistencies as much as possible. So anyways, I hear guys justify this. Now, how much do you actually just sit and listen when someone's giving healthy criticism or constructive criticism? Do you speak when they're giving the criticism? Like that is a big question, because I can tell you right now, if you're going to be honest with yourself, if you speak when someone's giving you criticism, if you speak, I can promise you, you're either being defensive or you're justifying, one or the other. Because majority of the time, if you're not speaking, you're probably taking notes. And if you're taking notes, that means you're taking what they're saying. And then you're saying, okay, this potentially could be something I'm folding into my developmental skills. So when you are being criticized, again, healthy criticized or constructive criticism, when you're having that happen, how much do you actually just sit and listen? And that's a valuable thing to really understand. Close your mouth and just listen. You can say thank you at the end of it. You can say, I appreciate your words at the end of it. But how much do you actually just sit and listen? Be honest with yourself. And if you aren't sitting and listening and taking notes, you probably should try that. It's going to be very beneficial for you. The other thing is, how often can you see their perspective and grab what you believe is relevant and use it to improve? I mentioned this a little earlier when I was talking about my Toastmaster stuff. I was sitting there and I had, you know, probably 10 to 12 people popcorning around and giving me feedback for my speech, from everything, from tone to content to body language to eye movement to tone, inflection, all those things. And that became part of my constructive criticism. And I just sat there to receive it and then tell them thank you for it and then go to the next person, right? And that was part of practicing receiving that criticism, but then also taking. Now, I didn't take everybody's input. There's some people that just didn't really give me valuable input to what I think was going to improve the speech to compete. They gave their perspective and it became something that I disregarded, not out of a sense of feeling personally attacked, but because I didn't feel it was valuable to the improvement of the speech. And then there's other people that when they said it, I was like, oh, that's actually a great point. But I had to see it from their side too. I had to see what they were saying from their side of it and try to be as objective as possible and not get defensive. Because if we can't see somebody's criticism from their side of the room, from their shoes, then we get subjective and we defend our position as opposed to being open to receiving and being objective and saying, okay, that's valuable input. So think about how you actually grab somebody's value by seeing and being in their shoes and seeing their perspective and then determine that it's relevant and use it to improve. How are you doing that? Or are you not doing that? Are you not developing because you are unwilling to allow somebody to give you that criticism, to give you that feedback? You're unwilling to allow that. And then you're unwilling to see from their perspective. If that is you, really start questioning your development right now and start saying, okay, how can I get better at this? How can I, the next time I'm being criticized, healthy criticized or constructive criticism, say, hey, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm going to receive it. And then I'm going to say, thank you. And that's it. And then whatever I want to take out of it, I'm going to take out of it. Instead of trying to justify, instead of trying to defend your position, that's irrelevant. That's irrelevant because you're just justifying what potentially could be an issue. You're just justifying an insecurity. Allow yourself to be more open to receiving and to absorbing and to utilizing what can improve you. So one of the last things I have and one of the last questions I have is, are you trainable as a man? So one of my best friends, Stefanos, he and I have done countless workouts at his house, and you know, I'll go to his house and I just let him run his workouts because I don't like to go to somebody else's gym and step on their toes or go to their house and step on their routine. So I'll be like, hey man, we'll do whatever you want. And so he was going over some of these things. And then like we went through this workout circuit. And then he was like showing me areas to improve. Now I've been working out since I was 16. I hate when people say they've done everything, but I've done a lot of different styles of working out, just spanning the spectrum of working out. So I've done a lot of it and I have pretty good form in most things, especially being somebody who's a natural athlete. I have pretty good form in most things, but he came over at one point and we were doing these ball wall tosses and he was like, hey, get down here, widen your stance here, all this stuff. And then he goes, cool. And so I just did what he said. And then I kept doing the drill, right? And he's like, he came up to me after and he's like, just impressed. He's like, bro, you just receive like feedback very well. And I'm not saying this to you guys to promote myself. I'm giving you an example to say, yes, I'm still trainable. Even in something that I am incredibly proficient in, I'm still trainable. Why? Because it's not because he was trying to say he was better than me. It's because he was legitimately giving feedback from what he saw and how I could improve it. And I did improve it. And so when you allow yourself to be trainable in every area of life, no matter how proficient you are in that area of life, you become better. Guys, stop being so egoic and stop being so insecure that you're not trainable. Be trainable every day of your life, because there is no area that you are a master. You're not perfect. You have not conquered one area of life. That's untrue if you believe it, and I will stand by that statement. You are always trainable and you're always capable of improving. Be trainable. Now, I wanted to bring up pickleball one more time because pickleball right now, I just started a few months ago and I've been training heavily on my own. I drill on my own and then I drill with a couple guys that are there early in the morning. And then I go and play some games, usually if people show up. And I've stayed kind of on the novice to low intermediate side. And then today, actually, the day that I'm doing this podcast, I went over to kind of more of like the intermediate and advanced side and went and played some games and held my own pretty well today and did a great job. Won more games than I lost and had the ability to really show up and get complimented by guys that I respect who are actually really good players who go and play amateur tournaments. And they have pretty good ratings. Now to get compliments from them, only being a few months into it and being to compete and not be a liability was a huge feather in my cap, just saying, hey, the work that I'm doing has been showing up. And so I'm talking about that because these are the same guys. Sometimes they'll be over drilling with me and they'll be giving me constructive criticism. Hey, this shot's not good here. Or, hey, let's work on this. Hey, that's not very good. You're pretty inconsistent here. Let's work on that. Right. So they're giving me constructive criticism as peer coaching, peer, P-E-E-R, peer coaching. And it's helping me tremendously improve my game. But if I had my ego in the way, I'm like, oh, I'm special operations. Oh, I was a high level, you know, athlete in soccer and oh, all these things. Like I could get very defensive and be like, this guy's not an athlete. This guy's not that. That guy's not this. He's this, right? And start making fun of him or start trying to judge him and then not listen to the feedback. And then I'm not improving. But it has helped me so much to be able to receive that feedback to improve and be trainable in a sport that's new to me that it's helped me elevate my game in a very short amount of time. So I say all of this because if you become constantly trainable in life, you will exponentially improve your skills, experience, and confidence in who you are and how you perform. Become constantly trainable. I can't give you any more better advice than being constantly trainable. All right, man. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you guys do like the podcast, please head over to Apple iTunes, give us a 5-star review, let everybody know what you enjoy about the podcast so that more people can have the opportunity to find this and grow in their own personal development. If we can help one more man be a better man in his life, be better in his relationships, find happiness within himself, then guys, we are doing our job. So I appreciate everybody who consistently comes over and listens, who consistently downloads. Make sure you guys click the download link if you are a regular listener so we can get all of that stuff up and we can show Apple Podcasts that you guys really enjoy the show. So we are here at almost 400 episodes and we are not stopping. I appreciate every single one of you who show up and listen. And anybody who talks about this podcast and hands it off to somebody else, thank you so much. All right, everybody. As you all know, the world deserves a better caliber of man, and it's our obligation to give it to him.